PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of The Original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is a legend from the Cleveland Strixon Zexio team, Mr. Casey Schultz. Casey, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Dan. I mean, that was quite the introduction. Not sure if it's deserved, but hope one day I can can earn that title. So yes, I appreciate it.
Well, I feel like once you've been on the show a couple of times, you become legend just based on the chaos that goes on the forum as we discuss the exciting things you guys end up sharing with us throughout the show. So yeah, I mean, the moniker probably should fit at this point.
All right, I'll take it. I'm not sure if I've earned it, but I appreciate it nonetheless.
Wicked. Well, hey, listen, your team over there, and I don't just mean team at HQ, but pretty much everywhere. Strixon, Cleveland is just killing it. I see you guys all the time popping up on tour. I see the discussion on the forum is always really fun, talking about the irons that I'm completely obsessed with right now, as well as the woods. I feel like the energy, the momentum you guys have has to be pretty high halfway through 2025.
Absolutely. I mean, the Strixon brand has never been hotter. All of the tour success, everything that's been going well, you know, at retail as well with the irons and the woods, and just this generation really being a home run for us kind of in every form of the term. It's really fun to see. And then the validation on TV and, you know, in major tournaments and everything, it's really rewarding as a team to see all that hard work we've put in really paying off. So yeah, it's been a banner year, 100%.
It's been interesting for me because not only do you have new faces that are popping up showing their ability on tour, but you are starting to show, at least for my generation, a level of consistency over the years. Guys like Keegan coming out and going nuts. I also saw, and it's not like he's an old guy at this point, but I had the TV on yesterday, which we're going to kind of date the episode. It's not a big deal, but I watched Hideki chip in from off the green and then pull out from the fairway and back-to-back holes. It's just like the depth of the group that you guys have and the success that they're showing has been really fun. And it's not always just because it's like you chase one guy. Now it's just like, it's like an army of awesome that's going on out there. That has to feel great to see everyone contributing to the story and also having success.
Definitely. I mean, it's just a bunch of guys that, I mean, a lot of them a couple of years ago weren't really household names or somebody that you would really know about, but have been in our products for, you know, some of them just a year, some of them a few years, and really seeing that group just have as much success as they're having with what we really think is technology that helps them stand apart from their competitors. And I think it, you know, points a lot to what we're doing as a production team here, making all of these products for them, suiting their needs and really helping them, you know, get to an upper echelon of tour performance that they had never really been able to achieve before. And being part of that success and seeing these guys strive and succeed the way they have has been really awesome. And we hope it continues. It's been an unbelievable year.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but there is a little bit of a disconnect between your direct role and the activity on the tour. There's some of a gap there.
Yeah. I mean, I get feedback a lot from the tour team, but it's normally the engineers that are dealing with the tour guys. Will give feedback to us on, you know, the grinds or what's taking off, and then we always take that into account when we're making product decisions. Feedback, iron, awesome. This grind goes taking off on tour. We think, you know, consider that, and we fill off even down to what's that line. Sometimes we'll play into what we're putting in some of our players. Products as well. So all that to definitely get back to me and my team on the decision making process. But yeah, I'm not out there in the day-to-day perspective.
Casey, I'm getting a little bit of weird feedback from your mic there.
Oh. I've got another one I could switch to. Do you want me to
whatever you just did is great. Let's stick with that for now, and if we need to make a switch, we will. Okay. So, but just generally speaking, you get that feedback can sort of connect the dots, then make a move toward the future based on that feedback?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, tour, retail, our fitters, our players, it's really kind of a coalescence of all of those things. Obviously, there's certain products that are a lot more tour-driven. Our 7 Series irons, for instance,
yeah,
very tour-focused. And same thing with our blade wedges. It's really the feedback from tour that we're leaning into them. And then you get into like our CB wedges and other categories. And then it's certainly, you know, your average golfers, your higher handicappers that we're really looking to improve their game. But for those products that are really driven by tour play and tour presence, it's really tour that we lean on to make the proper decisions moving forward.
I love that. So from your perspective, and I know there's a lot of communication that goes on, you see a guy like JJ pop up, heartbreak at the Players, but great exposure at the time. His story is pretty wonderful overall. And then to come back not that long thereafter and win a major. I mean, what a crazy storyline. What's that like internally for you guys? And how much of that communication feels more like validation?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really great to see these guys succeed. Yeah, heartbreak on the Players. Internally, we were talking a lot on the shot into the water on 17. We know that our balls are basically the best on tour in the wind. Wonder how much that played into effect of not expecting, you know, or expecting the wind to knock it down more as it did, you know, Rory's in that case. And our balls really do just cut through that wind. And, you know, if you're not used to that, you can overestimate the negative impacts of that wind instead of just playing the standard shot you're going to. So we're like, actually, that was kind of like a benefit of our technology in a way, the fact that he hit a perfect shot and it flew the real distance. He just thought that there would be a more negative effect of the wind. So if anything, our good performance of our golf ball maybe wasn't taken into enough account in a windy condition there. That was a funny one we were talking about for a while. But yeah, just seeing players like him really level up their game, and his story is so inspiring and kind of in line with who we are as a brand of just trying to improve and trying to level up every aspect of your golf game. And the same goes for the tour guys, really trying to provide them the equipment that will help them get to that next level. And obviously JJ did that this year, and it was really amazing to see what he was able to achieve.
Yeah. I'm curious if, when it comes to tour expectations, I know it's high. You're making selections for a good reason to represent your brand. And it's more than just, you know, it's more than just wins. It's a person as well. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to know thoughts between the success that you've seen on tour. Like, there is a very clear bump from Srixon's staff and those sort of comeback stories we've seen. But I'd love to know how that relates, or does that connect with a lot of the feedback you're getting from fitters or consumers on the new Z Series irons, which in my perspective have been absolutely phenomenal. So, you know, that connection between the two, what's that like, and how closely does that run parallel?
I mean, I think a lot of it is very connected. We see the success that tour players have with certain products or getting really quick adoption a lot of times is very highly correlated with our success with fitters and our success with the general aftermarket. Maybe there's a few exceptions, but for the most part, you know, when we're seeing all of the guys switching, for example, this year to the RTZ wedges has been basically our quickest adoption on the Cleveland side, with really, you know, a lot of momentum behind that area. We're seeing that in all other areas of sales as well, with that, you know, product really doing well for us. Same thing with the Srixon irons, just been taking off on tour. Again, all these wins, all that attention, and we're, you know, seeing the same thing from a fitter and a media perspective of getting a whole bunch of attention on how good these irons are. And I think for a while we were sort of the best kept secret on the Srixon iron side and a bit under the radar. I don't know that that's really the case anymore. I think the secret's sort of out, which has been great for us. Maybe for anybody who wanted to be playing like a cool niche iron brand, sorry, not as niche anymore. But yeah, it's been really great across the board. And then there's also even some, you know, specific bumps we can see. Like I was looking the other day, our online sales took a bit of a turn up on the Fairway Woods after Ryan Fox hit that shot to win the which tournament was a few weeks ago into 18. So like even little tour moments like that can, you know, create a bit of a surge in certain products, which is really fun to see.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And the conversation on the wedges this year on THP has been pretty entertaining. People are shocked by them. The discussion around Z Alloy, which, I mean, we can obviously go into in depth. We already have quite a bit on the show, so we don't really need to. It's just, it's a different look. And it's the fun part about that is it's sort of shocking when you go and get involved and experience it for yourself. For me, that story has been growing for the last couple of months. It started at Briggs Ranch with a group of TH peers, and it sort of expanded into more and more people seeing and experiencing it and just enjoying the benefit of those wedges, which is really cool. But what I really want to do today is talk about the iron lineup, the Z Series iron lineup. I think it's, I want to be careful in saying, I don't think it's going under the radar, but it's a lineup that has existed for a couple iterations now that usually you get like a real cult following behind it. And then slowly people chip away and start giving it a chance and being shocked at the benefits to it. I want to start with my iron in the lineup, the one I selected, although I do have another one at the top of the bag that's a little different, is a ZXi 7. I think it is the perfect blend of performance and control. The profile for me is fantastic. I've always said that the sole on it, it really allows more golfers to explore that version of an iron because it's not as demanding. But that's going to sort of wrap up my whole on overview perspective. We could talk numbers. I've got the numbers and how successful I've been with them. But I think better than that, let's focus on purely the technology you put into it. And I want to let you lead off by saying this isn't the first 7 in a Z lineup. So what about this fundamentally moved forward or pushed the needle forward based on the last version?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with the 7 Series and this entire lineup is we didn't break what wasn't broken on paper. So like if you're looking at these in the store, I think there's been some comments like, oh, they're sort of similar to the last generation. And a lot of that's intentional when it comes to shaping, when it comes to the technologies that we've always had. You mentioned it again, but the Tour VT sole is an absolute, you know, standout for us in the iron series, both from a retail and a tour perspective. When tour players try to get on a new contract away from Strixon, a lot of times they come right back because that feel of the sole to the turf is not something they can replicate with any other irons. So we always start with the foundation of what's great about the iron and don't break that. But this generation, the new ZXIs are really more of a revolution than an evolution when it comes to the forging techniques we have gone ahead with. So the 7 Series is a great example. This generation, they're featuring a brand new method called a condensed forging, which is something we've never done before. I don't think it's ever been done in the golf industry before, which is where the actual hosel of the iron is a bit of a different, more firm structure that allows us to get the rest of the club softer while maintaining the durability that you need round after round for something to maintain its specs and not, you know, get bent out of proportion over, you know, continual usage. So essentially there's like a rib structure that is created on the hosel in the forging process that is then smashed together to basically change the chemical or the metallurgical properties of that section. I want to say it's a fun, you know, note on that the face is magnetic, but the hosel is not, or maybe I got that flipped. But that's an interesting way to sort of be able to see the fact that the actual properties are being changed by this process. And this has allowed us to put this S15C material into the entirety of the 7 Series iron, which is something we've wanted to do for years. It's softer than we've ever been in the past, 7% softer than the previous generation 7 Series. So you're getting that better feel off the face. But we had always run into an issue with these irons coming out of spec after a few rounds, right? You can't be bending your lofts back to what they're supposed to be or your face angles back to what they're supposed to be every single time you play around just because the material is too soft in the hosel. So that technology really unlocked that material for us and allowed this new 7 Series to be the best feeling we've ever made from the Strixon brand.
Huh. So iForge, which I think is short for Impact Forged, is that... effectively sharing the same sort of logic as the condensed forging? It's just done in a slightly different way for that location on the head?
Yeah. So the condensed forging is a area of basically strength that we're adding. So on the 7 Series, it's in the hosel. On the 5 and the utility irons, it's more around the upper end of the blade, sort of near the top line on the backside. And that's going to strengthen the areas that we're really looking to maximize flex from on those irons. So a little bit of a different goal on the 5 iron and the 5 series and the utility, where we're trying to maximize that distance and really focus on, you know, getting a process in place that allows us to still maintain that feel, but you're looking for, you know, ball speed and forgiveness as well out of those irons. So using that condensed forge technology in other areas on those really allows us to maximize the performance that we're targeting for each player. It's a really exciting sort of door that's been open to us in the forging sector, and something that we've really had a good amount of time to play around with now and figure out the best way to implement.
That's really interesting. And I assume using the condensed forging has allowed you to maintain using the S15C type of steel, which is super soft. So the idea that someone's looking for the experience of the ball basically melting off the face of the club when you flush one, the best way to get there is to use a softer steel. And the best way to use that is to have a firm, strong, quality hosel section that doesn't fly all over the place. And I'm trying to dumb this down for everyone else and just, you know, turn your math into just basic English. But how am I doing there? Is that basically what you need to accomplish?
I mean, basically, at the end of the day, it's the best feeling 7 series we've made with that technology. And it's not going to have any, you know, outside issues that normally going to a softer material would have. So you're getting the best feel with really no trade-offs because of that technology.
So I will say, from my perspective in the past, I would have put the strike quality pretty much up with everyone else, and in my like own little memory bank of what I'm looking for in an iron. But I always sort of leaned on like the slightly more muscle back version of the iron to get that feeling I'm looking for with a Srix on iron. But then I came into experiencing ZXi7, and I feel like I've really brought that back to what I'm looking for in that. When I hit a flush shot, it is exceptionally satisfying, and in most cases there's an audible response that myself or maybe one of my playing partners will provide to say, like, man, that really sounds different when you do that, and different like in a quality way.
Yeah, I mean, the combination of that material and then the pure frame technology we've got with all that mass behind the ball is really like feel first is the focus on the 7 series.
Okay.
So that feel and that workability, and I mean, there's still a good amount of forgiveness within the category of players' irons. It's certainly not as forgiving as a 5 series or a 4 series, but it's really, you know, player first, somebody who wants that feel, that great sensation, that consistency, and the ability to work and play the shot types that they're looking for. That's why for most of the set, it's, you know, so popular on tour. But we are seeing more and more tour players going to those 5 series and the 4 and 5 iron especially. Mm. So the fact that these things are so comboable, and wherever you want to make that transition to that added distance and forgiveness, is something that, you know, we're seeing adopted on tour and is really working for all these guys to have that option.
Yeah. Well, I think you mentioned forgiveness, and the when I'm looking left here, I'm trying to use some of the talking points to reference my experiences. And right now I'm staring at pure frame, which appears to be a little bit of extra material directly behind the contact point, or the ideal contact point, the center of the head. Is the intent there to just get a little bit more mass behind the ball?
It is. We basically take a combination of what the kind of feel you'd be looking for, like from a blade, like the perfect strike on a blade is sort of buttery and has a bunch of weight behind the mass, and balancing that with the right amount of forgiveness of the cavity back design to give you basically the right balance of, you know, some forgiveness in what you're playing as a player's cavity with that feel and that control that a blade gives you. So kind of a combination of the two is what that material is designed to do with all of our simulations, to really find the right balance of maintaining that feel yet still keeping enough perimeter waiting for forgiveness as you need it. It's really a good blend. And there's a reason that so many players have moved to the 7 series for that balance, even the best players in the world. Very few of them are playing a blade. Hideki obviously is, but on tour, you know, blades have kind of gone out of vogue, and this balance of that feel and that workability along with the right amount of forgiveness is really what the best players in the world are looking for.
Well, I can still hook the heck out of them, so there's really no issue in terms of working the ball. I've definitely proven that time and time again, but you know, that was never really the reason why I landed on 7. I landed purely on performance and profile. It hit into a window that was incredibly satisfying and has continued to be incredibly satisfying for me. And a big part of why it seems to be more of a staple in the bag. You know, I get eager to hit it. especially in like the 9-8-7 range. I love those clubs and it's super fun to play there. It does get a little bit, I would say more loose at the top of the bag. And what I mean by that is I firmly believe that people should play the most effective club in each location of their bag. And that doesn't mean that's an iron set needs to be from pitching wedge to 4-3, some sure. cases 2-iron. Let's get a little crazier, yeah. But you know, a lot of people get worried about at the top of the bag. Well, should they still use the same thing? And I think what people don't realize or haven't quite fully understood is that a lot of these iron sets, they're building based on that location in the bag too. For example, with the 7, you have the progressive grooves, which change at the bottom of the bag versus the top of the bag. But each of those iron sets seem to be a little bit more obvious that there are subtle changes when you go away from pitching wedge and closer to the 4. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, definitely. And I think I agree with your mindset on these and all irons too, as you should really hit what's best for you in each area of your bag. I mean, obviously we offer the 7th series through a 3-iron, but most of the guys on tour are not playing it below, you know, a 5, or some people are switching out at the 6 and moving into our 5 series. I think if the best players in the world are looking for a little bit more forgiveness and distance in those irons, you should really be too. As a golfer who's, you know, not striking the ball even as consistently as guys who are winning major tournaments. So yeah, I think like we obviously make the full sets of each iron, but we design them to be comboable. We want people to be, you know, mixing and matching and making that transition wherever they feel comfortable. If it's the 7-iron that you really are struggling and need a little bit more distance on, make the transition there. And we try to, through, you know, ordering and everything that we allow players to do from a custom perspective, make that process of figuring out where to make that transition and actually, you know, placing an order for a set designed specifically for your needs as easy as possible. And I think we do a better job than just about anybody else of that.
Yeah, I feel pretty targeted right now. So if you could relax on that, that'd be great. Let's move into ZXi5 because it, from a pure experience standpoint, it's probably the least familiar I am in the lineup. But I believe it carries over a lot of what that 5 would be in the past, where you're starting to generate a little bit more launch support, controlling that spin a bit more from all around the face. Mm-hmm. Is that reasonable to say that that's effectively the goal in the 5s, to get a little bit, maybe a hair less control at the cost of, or support of, a little bit more launch, a little bit more forgiveness around the face?
Definitely. Yeah, it's the distance and it's the forgiveness that are really amped up from the 7 series on, you know, the 5, which is why a lot of those pros are going into it, you know, in the long irons, where they're just looking for that added consistency and not looking to shape the ball quite as much as they are, you know, really going after pins in the short irons. So, okay. Yeah, with the new generation, we've added that condensed forging. We've added a new faceplate material on the 5s and the U's. It's actually 14% softer than where we were before. So, again, a real focus on feel throughout the entire lineup. Truly, this Rixon sort of signature. It's that feel and that, you know, consistency in these forged products that you're going to be loving as a player, no matter which model you find yourself in. So with all of the technology built into the 5 series, you're going to be getting a little bit more distance performance and a little bit more forgiveness than the 7 series. But still at a dress, it's going to look very similar to a 7 series. And, you know, that combination throughout the set is something we really pride ourselves on making as consistent and free flowing as possible. So whenever you're making that transition, it'll be supernatural.
Yeah. So I want to talk about the condensed forging, that it stretches further than just the hosel portion, which is what we discussed on the ZXi7. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about moving it around into some of more the high toe area, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
Why this particular club as opposed to the 7, and what exactly is the goal here by extending that?
Yeah, so when you're looking into a club like the 5 series or the utilities, where one of the primary focuses is that distance performance and, you know, getting a little bit more ball speed, having the ability to take a very soft material, right? That's what we're starting with on all of these, to make sure that feel is maximized, and harden it in areas that'll sort of increase the flex and allow for the face profile to really be a little bit more explosive ball speed wise, is a really great toolbox item to have. So being able to do that around sort of that top line area, where you're strengthening something that otherwise would be, you know, kind of deflecting and not allowing for quite as much of a trampoline effect, if you will, like the outside of a trampoline is kind of sturdier, right? With the middle being that softer part that's creating the explosive effect. So having that ability to take a weak zone and make it a strong zone really allows us to maximize the ball speed on those products.
So it sort of opens the door to this next technology we're going to talk about, which is something that Srixon has had for a little bit in the stable, but now getting full discussion with the irons, which is the mainframe technology. Pretty interesting there. Very, very what looks like weight intentional or material intentional across the face. What exactly can golfers expect with mainframe, and why does it matter on the five?
Yeah, so mainframe is a technology that's designed to sort of thin out areas of the face to really maximize that ball speed, but also position some of that mass that's been removed from the face into different areas like the tungsten we have in the irons to allow for, you know, the most forgiveness possible within this player's profile. This is a technology that we really go through a process of our engineers working with computer simulations back and forth of putting in parameters, seeing what spits out. And this is the newest version of that, which has removed more weight than ever before to allow to really, you know, maximize those launch profile characteristics we're looking for better players in the five series. And, you know, it's the newest iteration of something we've done for a few generations that has gotten even better and allowed us to eke out even more forgiveness and high launch performance out of the five series.
So when it comes to that discussion between pitching wedge and four iron or pitching wedge and three iron, whatever depth you can go to, how much can golfers expect that to be different on the five series? Is it quite a bit from pitching wedge to, let's say, five?
I would say the overall irons and the shaping transitions pretty smoothly. It's not going to be too many drastic differences throughout the set. Obviously, each iron's designed for its specific purpose, and there's different, you know, shifts of weight and everything that move from iron to iron. But I would say overall, most of our sets are designed pretty consistently to really allow for wherever you're looking for that level of performance. You can find it in the five series, find it in the seven series. But if you're looking for a little added forgiveness in the short game or in the long game, then you've got these other iron options to kind of slot into that part of your bag. And that's where our sort of combo sets come into play. So yeah, generally our forgiveness is pretty consistent throughout the line, but would certainly say, I mean, you know, the lower center of gravities and things are focused more in the long irons to, you know, maximize some characteristics there. And the face technologies are also designed more for ball speed in the long irons than more for consistency in the short irons on the five series as well, where you're not looking to hit a, you know, 190 yards. So there's a little bit of a different focus in some of the design characteristics, but as far as shaping and some of those other things go, it's generally, you know, a very cohesive line from top to bottom.
Okay. Well, let's move into, I would say, the hottest topic of the iron lineup. It's the one that is not like the others in, if you're looking back 30 years, but it's also the one that's the most, I would say, tech forward of the three that we've discussed so far, which is the ZXi4. We've seen different versions of this in the past. In fact, I had so much fun with the consistency of the ZX or the, I don't remember the name, ZX4 back in the day, that I used it almost exclusively in the THP Tech Studio for ball testing because there was such little variety shot to shot that I was having from a spin perspective and a launch perspective. That is, and always has been, my favorite discussion on the THP forums, the four series. And I think most people, when they hit it, are most excited to talk about what they experienced with it. So all that to say that I think the four series does have a little bit of lore behind it and expectations, certainly, that it will be very consistent and very supportive for golfers who might not hit the middle of the face every time. So I assume you're aware of that. And I assume that you took that well into account before making any significant changes to this series.
Yeah. I mean, the four has been a success for us for a few generations now. I think we've screwed around with the shaping a little bit from generation to generation to really figure out what exactly this golfer needs. And this generation, the main focus has been moving the mass low to create a little bit of a higher launch profile for players with the four series, which we've seen great feedback in the field compared to some of the previous generations, which were a little bit lower launching and something that players were looking, especially in this sort of game improvement, or like we like to call players development category, that really allows players to, you know, get that distance, but also get that launch profile they're looking for in what is, you know, the most forgiving package in the Strixon lineup. So you're still going to get all the hallmarks of a Strixon Iron, that premium shaping. We've really, you know, increased the quality of the cosmetics this generation too. The new fours are absolutely gorgeous on the shelf and in the bag. But at address, it's not going to be a big, ugly game improvement iron either. It's going to be a, you know, players looking shape that's kind of got all of that forgiveness and, you know, everything you're looking for distance wise built in into a really player appealing package.
Yeah. So you have a visual on the site that shows what I assume is a weight. It's a big red bar that runs across the bottom close to the face of the ZXI4. Is that a heavier weight that you've placed there?
Yeah, it is. And it's a new location, I believe, last generation, or in the past, it's been closer to the toe and in different areas. So this time we've really been focused on lowering that center of gravity for that increased launch to maximize the ability of these players to, you know, not only get the distance they're looking for, but make sure they can hold some greens and have the right, you know, descent angles into all of the shots that they're going to be taking with the Forest series. So yeah, adding more tungsten low and deep there is really helping this generation to create that launch profile we're looking for in a game improvement iron.
So I have this club in the bag in the four iron. Traditionally, my four iron is intended to be explosive distance with no regard to spin or launch production.
Sure.
In an iron that I'm chasing a distance of that I don't really care how accurate it is. Or I should say controllable it is on landing. All I want it to do is go really straight and really far. So,
yeah,
you know, that is a, listen, Casey, respectfully, there are people on THP who think I'm nuts and my bag is what they like to call a Franken bag because it has some weird stuff in it. But that role for me has always mattered a lot, because once you get to that like 220 to 230 yard distance, you're not necessarily looking about being a finite precision instrument, right? Like you're looking for something that just gets the ball forward so you can continue to play around once you get up to that next shot. So
yeah,
all this to say that I put this four in the bag with the assumption of this outrageously explosive, who cares how it lands or why it lands the way it does type of club. And what I've gotten out of it is a weird amount of precision that I'm not entirely prepared for. So
there we go.
It is a hair shorter than those absurd situations that I've had in the past, but I think that the control is what has been elevated so aggressively there. And I'm actually really excited about it. I've hit numerous shots from distances that I've gotten a little silly with and said, yeah, I'm just going to dot this one and see if I can put something tight from like 225 yards. And suddenly the ball is like slowly descending into the green, landing soft and sitting there. I'm like, okay. Like I was not aware at my age and my ability that I can still do something like that. So all that to say that I'm blown away at the consistency of control that this iron has presented. And I think that's what a lot of people are really desiring right now in this type of club, and especially at this type of loft. The ability to control the landing point is something I did not expect.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it makes a lot of difference having that control in there for somebody who's looking for just that max distance with a bit more rollout. We've got the utility series as well, right? Where you just got that explosive ball speed with that forgiveness, but you know, not quite as much of a launch there. So yeah, with the four series, it's really a great option for anybody who's looking for that balance of distance, but still wants to be able to hold greens and not just be, you know, hitting rollers and everything. Yeah. And the four iron is really, I think, best generally as part of a combo set. If you're doing a five series and a four series combo set, sometimes it's a great idea to have those four series and the long irons. For somebody who's playing four throughout the bag, I would honestly probably recommend that you move into a hybrid or something like that in that four iron, or, you know, some of those for a higher handicap player. Four through PW is sort of an old, you know, convention that I would basically push more people to gravitate away from, as it sounds like you have drastically done throughout your set. Absolutely. I mean, it's a really great set of irons to balance that launch profile with the forgiveness, and then the signature Strixon feel you're still going to be getting in those models as well.
I will say that's one of the things that surprised me the most about it, where I feel like the other one, it wasn't as responsive around the face. It always felt pretty darn good when I hit it. And maybe I was just better back then, or maybe I'm just putting worse shots on it now. But like, there is a clear difference when I really strike it well on the new fours versus the old ones. And there's and it's not anything to do with the results of it. I mean, there is a difference, but what I appreciate about it is I still get extremely rewarded for great shots. And that is something that I chase in every club in my bag. If I hit it great and it doesn't feel great, there's no way it has any sort of staying power. Cause like, sure. What are we doing here? If it doesn't feel good, why is it in the bag? Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that buttery Strix on feel is something we always put through, you know, many rounds of testing before anything comes to market. And if we have any sort of issue whatsoever in feel and it just doesn't come up to our standards, it's kind of back to the drawing boards and making changes to products. So yeah, that's something you can just expect as a standard from Strixon in any product we release, and in really any category, especially in the irons. It's just an absolute priority, and I'm glad to hear that we haven't missed the mark there again.
Yeah, like I'm trying not to geek too hard about it. It's one of those things where you put in the bags an exploratory option and it's like really exceeding expectations. And those are the stories that are so fun. You get the expectation you have from some clubs, and then others exceed expectations, and you want to celebrate it, man. It's fun. That's part of the reason I think why we change, not just to chase technology, but also to chase that insane feeling when you really catch one. Cause those are the things that stay with you.
Absolutely.
So we didn't really touch on it, but it does continue that mainframe technology in there as well, I assume. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it similar to the 5? Is it a little bit different? How does that look?
Yeah, the mainframe technology is pretty similar to the 5 and the U there, in the way that it's treated, and is really just focused on maximizing the amount of material. Again, the tungsten is a good example of what we were able to achieve by taking some weight away from the face and throwing that low and deep. And not only is it a ball speed technology, but it kind of frees up our engineers to put weight wherever else they really need to maximize those launch characteristics and target the performance we're looking for in a premium game improvement iron.
So we can definitely touch on the Z Forged too.
Sure. Yeah.
But I feel like it's a pretty small segment of golfers that are chasing this type of iron. It is stunning. And you guys have released things of this nature before. They're a little bit unique to some other muscle backs that I've seen in the past. Looks like you've carried Pure Frame over. What can golfers expect? It's actually a different steel. I didn't realize that. 1020 carbon steel. I had no idea. As I redo my research on the fly here with this iron. Tell me what the mindset was behind Pure Frame or Z Forge 2 and where you landed on what.
Yeah. Yeah, Z Forge 2 is a great offering to sort of combo wherever you need within the rest of the set. So obviously our tour players, other than Hideki, are for the most part not in a full set of blades. But a few of them are throwing it in, you know, pitching wedge, 9 irons. That's the set I have is I believe 9 iron and pitching wedge. I need to take the 8 iron out of a blade and put it back into a cavity back. The game's getting a little rusty, so had a couple shots there. I was like, yeah, that would have been on the green with a cavity back 7 series instead of a blade. But I think it's a really good option for players to slot into wherever they're really looking to get that workability before they're starting to move into whatever the lowest wedge they like to play is. It's going to combo extremely well with the 7 series, especially. So going from a 7 series in, you know, the 7 iron, 8 iron blade in the 9 iron and up is a really great option to give that, you know, workability wherever you want it. Or for your player who's just an elite shot maker and really prioritize maximum workability all the way through the bag, you can play these things all the way down to the 4 and beyond. And you're really going to be able to shape the shots better than anything else. And the feel is top notch with so much mass behind the ball. And we also just have a reputation for being probably the most forgiving blade on the market. I mean, it's kind of a oxymoron a little bit, but out of the category, we are proud that our, you know, Forged are, you know, the most usable by a wider range of players than most of the rest of blades. But I would still recommend the majority of players through the majority of the set, you know, move into a 7 series or something that's going to help you out a little bit more.
Except for yourself, of course.
I really need to get that 8-iron out of the bag. I think 9-iron and pitching wedge, I'm okay to keep the blades in, but there's other areas where the ego just needs to take a little bit of a hit.
The worst gotcha maybe ever on the show. Don't feel great about it, but man,
fair enough.
I am curious, they do have, or in the past, this style of iron from you guys has had a slightly longer heel to toe than a traditional blade would have. Is that continued here?
Yeah. I think as far as blade sizing goes, it's not going to be one of the smallest on the market. I think it's certainly more in line with something like our 7 series. It's a little shorter than our 7 series, but it's on the larger side and the more sort of forgiving. That's where that forgiveness comes from within a blade profile. So if you're looking for the tiniest, most unhittable blade on the market, you're going to have to look elsewhere. But if you're looking for something that's going to give you that feel and workability and actually give you, you know, within the constraints of a blade like design, a little bit of help, this is going to be your best choice for your game.
Sure. The one last question I have on these irons specifically is the decision to carry on the VT sole. I know it looks a little bit different, I guess Tour VT sole, but you know, I've experienced through a lineup, I've walked through, and not specific to Strixon at all in this case, but the different turf interaction that exists, there is a desire when you play in this type of iron to really carve out the turf, and I assume that there is a little bit of a cost benefit there from a dig a hole to the other side of the earth, or to get a little bit of support on the ones you maybe catch a little heavy. So how much harder is that decision to be made on, let's say, the ZForge 2 versus the ZXi 7?
I would say it's the easiest decision we have to make every generation is, oh, let's just continue the Tour VT sole. Everybody loves it. It's really a technology we have that stands out compared to the rest of the market. Tour loves it and they hate when they have to switch to another iron from it. It's something that nobody else has really been able to replicate and kind of a hallmark of all of the Strixon irons. This generation, we added it to the utility series for the first time, which was a kind of exciting new addition there to, you know, get that technology. If you want to combo those irons into your set, a few generations ago, we added the sole notches on the heel and toe, which even further increased the speed through the turf when you've got a little bit of material removed that'll stop the face from twisting or, you know, stop you from getting a little bit even more friction in that turf interaction to make sure you increase that club head speed consistency even more. So for all players really that are looking for better turf interaction and a balance of different, you know, attack angles as well, the VT sole with the added bounce, but then that bounce really gets removed and that trailing edge is designed to work for just such a wide range of players and give something that's not really replicable from any other brand out there currently. So it's always an easy call to just put it on everything and not have to think too hard about it other than a few modifications here and there with slight width changes and everything to target different player types, especially when we're actually making a sole width change. We've got to take all of that into consideration. But yeah, the Tour VT sole has been hands down the most signature technology I think we've had for a long time now that players can actually, other than the feel off the face, especially off of actual grass, feel the difference. I do think that's one of the only downsides of the Tour VT sole. If you're testing an iron off of mats or you know, going through an iron fitting, it's really not the same experience when you're just hitting off of something that you're not ever going to be able to dig into, right? Like a mat, you're always going to bounce off of anyway. So a grass fitting or hitting, you know, a Tour VT sole off of the actual material you're going to be golfing off of is really where you're going to feel that difference more than in an indoor situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of my favorite pieces. I always love to see it, especially the continuation and the little manipulations you've done on it that really make a huge difference. Because listen, not all of us hit perfectly square shots every time. The toe comes in early, the heel comes in early. I don't want to talk about it. As long as I can control it, it's not a big deal. So it's great to see that there as well. Casey, while I still have you, I know Z Alloy has been a big conversation this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's
absolutely
can be fairly polarizing for the sickos in the Rust crew, but don't care about them at all. And you can get mad at me on the forum all you want for that one. But How has Zee Alloy changed the game for this year for you guys? I know there's been conversations coming out there. We discussed it overall in the past, but is it meeting, exceeding, or surprising? Where is it halfway through the year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's exceeding all expectations, especially with how much risk we kind of had coming in with it. I mean, switching away from a material, especially on tour, that has been used for so long with such success, but you know, finding something as a team that was legitimately better in, you know, all of these categories that we were going after is always going to have some internal worry or internal, like, should we really even be, you know, going? But at the end of the day, a better product's a better product. And that's kind of what we stand behind. And seeing our best tour adoption basically ever as a brand, or at least in, you know, since I've been here, or the last 20 years, I've been talking to our tour team, and getting RTZ wedges in both our staffers and people not on our staff on tours, popping up all over the place, has been really rewarding for everything we were able to achieve. The rust thing was also something that had always come up of, you know, the sickos, as you call them, who were so obsessed with that, and just seeing the negative benefits of having rust on a product, and all of the spin numbers we're seeing, and the performance drop off and the groove wear and everything. It was just a no-brainer from a performance side, but we're always worried about that aspect of somebody who just really wants that for the cosmetic. But at the end of the day, performance wins for us. And I tell you, we've been selling tour rack wedges at a rate we have never before. I think back ordered for a while this year because of how much demand there is for a non-rusting raw wedge that gives you all that tour authentic feel and performance, but it doesn't come with the downsides of that performance drop off and everything else that, you know, the negativity of rust actually brings from a performance perspective. So all of the risks and things we were worried about going in, we shouldn't have been, I guess, in the end. And the success of the wedge has been off the charts, and the feedback has really been phenomenal from everyone. So we are chuffed at how well the launch has gone for RTZ.
Well, there's always a concern because it's a storied product. I mean, Cleveland wedges have been a staple of the golf industry for a very long time. And people have expectations, and the last thing you want is to upset the folks who have championed your product for many decades or years or iterations. And listen, I'll be the probably not the first person to say that there's been a couple wedges in the lineup that just didn't quite suit my swing back in the day. I'm going to blame myself. It's clearly not the brilliant minds over there's fault. But, you know, sometimes things just don't quite add up. And ever since, I think, RTX4, I jumped back on the train and was just been blown away by the products that have been released. And I think that's no exception this year. RTZ have been a ton of fun. I remember sitting with a group of TH peers on a practice green in Texas, which is not my, we'll call it my native grass. And you know, hitting these ridiculous shots off tough lies, just having an absolute blast and thinking, you know, what a great product that I can come out here and have the confidence in doing that. And then actually translate it onto the golf course the following day, into the following weeks. So, you know, that to me is a beautiful story to tell when it comes to the application of the quality of the product. But also we've been reading the feedback on THP, and we've been seeing the positive perspective that people have had on the wedges. And I assume that that's really resonating, not only, as you mentioned, on tour with the acceptance they've had, but also there at HQ.
Oh yeah. I mean, definitely. I like that you brought up RTX4. That was the first launch when I was with the company. So
yeah, clearly your fault.
I'll take credit for everything after that one. But yeah, I mean, the feedback has been fantastic from all sides. I mean, the feel of this generation is really, you know, a game changer, with Zee Alloy being a softer material than 8620, you know, outside of all the rest benefits and everything, like having a softer and less dense material to move mass and, you know, give our engineers the freedom to make a better feeling, and within the constraints of a blade, more forgiving wedge, has really allowed like that actual performance to come out in testing or on tour or at retail or everything. So I think it's a combination of such an exciting revolution in the wedge, you know, industry. I don't think there's really been such an inflection point in a wedge technology in a while. And then really seeing that, you know, go through to retail, go through to tour, start some buzz on, whoa, a raw wedge can not rust. That's kind of new. Has really been cool to see. And yeah, has really set us up for an exciting future. Now we got Roger Cleveland on board for future wedge designs and everything as well. So it's a really, really good place we're in on the wedge side with Cleveland Golf.
Well, I'll tell you what, my good man, it's so much fun to follow a product from basically release to the end of each cycle. Obviously, me and a few other THPers had a great time joining up with Srixon earlier in the year, and you know, getting to hit those irons, getting to experience it throughout the course of a year, seeing the tour have crazy success. Your name keeps popping up, Srixon this, Cleveland that, especially the guys who are making the re-return to the spotlight. It's a lot of fun, and I'm thrilled that you decided to join in the show today to share a little bit more of the tech depth that goes into these irons. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I mean, it's been a lot of fun for us too. Just every week rooting for our guys, and week after week seeing another victory pop up. And I don't know that we've ever had as much momentum as a brand that we do now, and hoping to continue it for the rest of the season. And we got Ryder Cup coming with Keegan as a captain, and it's going to be a really awesome rest of the year. So
yeah, and we'll see the cup. He keeps playing well, man. I don't know. You might see some some clubs out there with him as opposed to just some pointing and shouting. So
yeah, it's going to be awesome to see what ends up happening there. Either way, love having him, you know, have so much attention, and it's really great to have him on staff and doing as well as he has been. The win the other week was just amazing.
Awesome. Well, hey, folks, if you're out there, you haven't paid enough attention to Cleveland RTZ wedges or the Srixon ZXI lineup, the iron lineup, it's fantastic. It's super fun to hit. There's great options for every style and skill. If you're as good as Casey, maybe jump into the the fancy Z-Forge 2s, or, you know, all the way down to the higher handicaps. Check out the 5s or the 4s that really support your game. Definitely take a look. And there's tons of conversation on THP right now. If you're looking for some regular golfer feedback, everyone's really excited to get in and talk about that. So yeah, Casey, thanks again, man. And if you guys are out there playing golf this week, have a great time. Make it count and tell someone they hit a good shot, but not a bad one, because that's just mean. See you guys next week.
Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
Hey, everybody. Don Brown, back here with another episode of Shaft University. This week's question is about how light is too light for your iron shafts. And really the question is, how light is too light for you to be able to control? Going lighter always gives you some advantages that you can swing the club a little faster, maybe you can do a little back weighting, a bunch of things you can do lightweight shafts. But if that means you get too fast with your swing, your tempo gets out of control, you're going to be haywire, you're going to be hitting it left, right, anywhere but at the green. So that's really the question, is what is the lightest shaft that you can control? Some of that comes back to your swing speed, but if you've got a really smooth tempo, you can go really light. If you're an aggressive tempo, you're probably better off staying with a heavier shaft. Hope that helps. Talk to you guys
later. THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.